So, Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. But he wasn't baptizing any. His disciples were baptizing. So he decided to leave Judea and go to Galilee. And on the way to Galilee, he had to pass through the land of Samaria. And as he was traveling, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. Now, this village was near where Jacob had given a plot of land to his son Joseph. And it's where Jacob's well is. So tired, Jesus was tired from a long walk. He wearily sat down beside the well. It was about noon. So soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. And Jesus said to her, "Please, can I have a drink of water?" Well, Jesus was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy food. And the woman, she was shocked because the Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. So she said, "Sir, I am a Jew. You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir," she said, "you don't have a rope or a bucket. The well is really deep. Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? And how can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus said to her, "If you drink this water, you will become thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I will give you, you will never be thirsty again. It will be like a well springing up inside of you, bubbling up, giving you eternal life." "Oh, sir," she said, "please give me this water that I won't be thirsty anymore and that I won't have to come here and get water." Ma'am, could I get a glass of water?"
All right. We're really busy here. I have to seem to do everything around here. Things that people are supposed to do, I have to end up doing okay now. Okay, what did you want?"
"I would like a drink of water, please."
"Okay, one water, anything else?"
"Actually, I would like special water."
"Okay, so you want bottled water, fine."
No, ma'am, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't want bottled water. I don't want any bottled water."
"Okay, now look, we got tap water and we got bottled water, but that's all we got around here. We don't got all these fancy choices, you know."
"Well, actually, I was thinking I would like living water."
"Living water?"
"Yeah.
Okay, we certainly do not have living water. Can I just get you maybe a cup of coffee, okay? Do you take cream and sugar?"
"No, I really don't want coffee. I would just like, look, I would like living water. Say, it says right on here, living water. I would like living water."
"All right, so you brought your own water. You don't need water. You don't want coffee. I don't know, like a pop, maybe a Coke, Diet Coke?
No, I don't want, you know, this living water is way better than Coke or coffee or bottled water even. If you drink this living water, you'll never become thirsty again. If you drink that stuff, you will become thirsty again."
"Okay, tell you what, you know what, you just sit here and you enjoy your living water. I'm not going to make a fuss that you're not ordering anything. You just sit here and enjoy, okay? It's fine.
No, you missed my point, ma'am. I'd like to give you this water, and then you could drink it, and you could enjoy it. Yeah, and then maybe I could come and enjoy it with you. And then maybe we could take this water, and we could give it to everybody in the restaurant, and they could enjoy it too."
"Oh, I get it. This is one of those pay it forward things, right? Right?"
No, it's not. No, it's not. "I really just want to give you this water that you could enjoy it. And I really do want everybody in the restaurant to enjoy it as well."
You're really serious about this living water thing.
Yeah, I'm really serious. Dead serious.
Well, do you believe this living water? Do you think that's really going to work? That I'll never be thirsty? Living water, it's going to give me life?
Yeah, guaranteed it will. Guaranteed. It'll give you life.
Well, do you think that, if you're just gonna give me this living water, for free?
Absolutely. You just have to ask. I'll give it to you.
Well, okay. But do you think that one bottle's gonna be enough for everybody?
It will. I guarantee it. Trust me. It'll be enough. It'll be enough for everyone.
You know?
Yeah, take it.
For some strange reason, I do trust you. Living water.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, everyone, I got living water. And it's enough for all of us.
I'm not supposed to laugh, my friends. That's why I haven't been singing. And actually, my dentist told me that I'm not supposed to talk very much, but Jesus says he wants me to talk. And so I'm going with Jesus on this one. So anyways, Jesus is asking us for a cup of water, for a drink of water. Now, if you look through the New Testament, for sure, you don't see very many places where Jesus asks for anything. On the cross, he asked, "I'm thirsty." But this is one of the very few places where Jesus is asking for a cup of water. He's asking for a drink of water from this Samaritan woman. Jesus very quickly changes his story from asking for physical water to spiritual water. That's what I want to talk about today. I believe that Jesus is asking us, all of us, for a drink of water. He's asking you. He's asking me. And what are we giving him? In the sketch that Chris and I just did, the customer was offered bottled water, was offered coffee, was offered Coke. What are we offering? What are we giving to Jesus? Are we giving Jesus what we think he wants? Or are we giving Jesus what he has given us? Are we doing things that sound good, that make sense, that are logical, and then we're presuming that God will bless those things? Are we giving Jesus what we think he wants? Or are we giving Jesus what he has already given to us? So how do we do this? And what does that even mean? Let's look at the woman, the Samaritan woman, in John 4:10. Well, in John 1-15, at the Samaritan woman. Let's look at what this account tells us. She says, "Sir, you are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus responds, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." I would give you living water. So looking ahead in this whole scenario, the water that Jesus is giving us will sustain us. This water will sustain you, and there will be enough to give away. Okay, Jesus gives us two key thoughts to open up this experience with this woman. He gives us two key thoughts. He said, "Sir," as I go back, "Sir, I am a Jew, you are a Samaritan. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God." What a statement. If you knew the gift of God. This is the first key thought. What immediately comes to your mind when you when you hear about the gift of God. Mine is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his only Son. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. The free gift. This is the gift. God giving his Son for us. And then we see in Romans 3:22. Here it says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. We are made right with God. On the cross, when Jesus gave his Son to die on the cross, he took the whole penalty for the sin of the world. He took it all on himself. And so, as it says in John 1, verse 12, it says, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in on his name, to those who have received him. When we received him into our life, and as it says in this verse, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, as we received him, that means confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness. He forgave our sins when we received him. So this, it says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. When we receive him into our lives and say, Father, come, be the master of my life. Be the Lord of my life. I've messed up. When we ask him to come into our life and to be the boss and desire to follow him, this is our position. He comes in. The Holy Spirit comes and fills us. This is our position in Christ. This is the gift. If you knew the gift, he's saying to her, if you knew the gift that God has for you, but that is the whole gift. And I'd like to think of this gift as the foundation. I'm a contractor, so this is the foundation of the whole gift. But there is more to this gift. There is more. This is our position. There is the process. There is more to this gift. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body. Here's the position that we have. He himself, while we were yet away from him, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. So that, why? This is our process, so that we might die to self and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. The position is, he took all our sin upon him. He took it all for us, so that we could die to self and live to righteousness. We all know the verse in Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. This is our position. We are saved by grace. When we ask him to come into our lives, he does. Not by anything that we've done, not by any work. That is the position we have. But what is the process? The process comes in verse 10. It says, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece, created for good works in Christ. Created. We are a new creation, created with the Holy Spirit to do good works, to show his glory. And in John 16:13-15, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belonged to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you what he receives from me. When we ask him, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. When we come into that position of being the redeemed, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And he, it says here, he's the Spirit of truth. But he says only what the Lord Jesus is telling him. And so just as Jesus, when he was on the earth, he only did what the Father told him to do. We are only to do what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. We are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are to walk in the Holy Spirit. This is the process. He never left us alone. He gave us the Spirit to tell us how to walk in every situation, what to do. Also, part of this gift. Also, part of this gift is 1 Peter 4:10, which says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. We have the Holy Spirit in us, but yet God has also gifted us each individually. Each individually to do something. It's very special that he's given to us. He's a very creative God. And so our position is that we have been redeemed. Our process is that the Holy Spirit came in and he's helping us. This is the first thing he says. If you knew the gift that God has for you, he says this to this woman. Then the second thing is, the second point is, who is speaking? Who is speaking to you? He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, and who it is that is speaking to you. So who is it that is speaking to this Samaritan woman? It's Jesus. Jesus. And he tells her later on in the passage that he is the Messiah. But does she fully understand who she is speaking to? In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by him. Apart from him, nothing was created. This is Jesus, the one who created us, the one who made every cell in my body, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the stars. This is Jesus. If you knew who you were speaking to, Jesus is the one. Jesus, it says in Colossians 2:9, is the very fullness of the Godhead, of God in bodily form. The fullness of God in bodily form. And we all realize this, that Jesus is God. In Philippians 2:7, though, it says, Jesus emptied himself. Now, what does that mean? He gave up. He laid aside the privileges that he had had with the Father. And he submitted himself by asking the Father what to do. What the Father was asking him to do. If we look in the book of John, in John 12:49-50, it says, Jesus says, I say whatever the Father tells me to say. In John 5:30, it says, of myself, I can do nothing. I judge as I hear. John 5:19, the Son does only what he sees the Father doing. So we know that Jesus was totally God. But something, and I don't understand it, but Jesus was also totally man. He walked as a man on earth. Why did he do that? And it says in Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the exact representation of God, his character, of who God is. So when we see Jesus, we see what God is like. We see how he has compassion. We see human form. He's our example. Jesus is our example. The way Jesus walked on the earth is the way we are to walk on the earth. Jesus healed the sick. We are to heal the sick through the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to walk, to do through us in the name of Jesus. We don't do anything in our own strength. Even in this passage, Jesus has a word of knowledge from the Father. He told the woman. What did he say to the woman? The woman said, "Oh, please give me a drink that I won't be thirsty anymore and I won't have to come here and get water." Jesus said, "Go get your husband." "I have no husband," she said. "That's correct. You do not have a husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and you are not even married to the man that you're living with now. You have spoken the truth. You do not have a husband." And later on in the narrative, she put her pot down beside the well, and she ran into the village, and she said, on the way there and in the village, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." Could this possibly be the Messiah? "Who told me everything I ever did?" I think their conversation was a little longer. We're just getting part of it. But in any event, Jesus, the Father told Jesus exactly what to say to her, because he always did what the Father said. So now I believe we are to walk like that. I had an experience like that in Malaysia. There's five of us guys. We're praying for this Muslim man. He doesn't speak English, but we have a Muslim interpreter. And as we were all praying, I got this picture in my mind. These things that had happened that day to this person. He had apparently got injured. He was carrying a pipe on his shoulder and he hurt his shoulder. And he didn't want to tell his boss because he was scared of losing his job. So I'm thinking, well, you know, that's just my mind. But I said, oh, well. So I told the interpreter, I said, "Tell him this, ask him this. Did this happen?" And he nodded his head. "How did you know that?" "I'm saying, how did you know?" I don't know what he said. But he affirmed that what we told him he had heard. So then the leader of our group said, "We need to pray that God heals this man." And we did, and God healed him. It was really weird because he's walking around, moving his arm, feeling his back, just in his daze. And then 2 weeks later, he accepted Jesus, or it might have been before then, but then he got baptized. So what I'm saying is we need to walk the way Jesus walked. Jesus lived and walked the way we are to live and walk. Jesus is asking us for a drink of water. Are we giving Jesus what we think he wants, or are we giving Jesus what he has already given to us? So, what is the obstacle? The obstacle, I have three examples from this narrative. I have three examples, and this is the root of all three examples. It's unbelief. Unbelief is the root of these three examples. And I think I can relate to these, so I'm sure you can relate to these too. The Jews refuse to have anything to do with the Samaritans. You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Why are you asking me? I'm a mess. Why are you asking me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I have done? Why would you even want me? Why would you? We don't believe our position in Christ. Maybe we haven't accepted him, but we don't believe who we are, that we're made in God's image, that we're valued. We don't believe he could just forgive all of that. our self-esteem. Well, Moses was like that, wasn't he? He came to the burning bush. And God says, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. I can't. I'll be your voice, God says. Yeah, but you don't know. I have a speech problem. I can't. I know. But I really can't do this. I know. I will be with you. That's what God says for us. I know who you are. I know what you've done. That's what I took to the cross. I put it on the cross. I forgave it. When you receive me, you receive that forgiveness. You are forgiven. Walk in confidence. Why are you asking me? That's the first example. The second one is, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. The well is very deep. Where will you get this living water from? Isn't that what we face? I don't understand this, Father. I don't understand what to do. Father, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. It's not logical. You know what? Faith very seldom is logical. Faith, it very seldom makes sense. We need faith. We need to trust God in order to do it. We don't believe in maybe that God is saying who he is. He will take care of us. Father, I don't have anything. How can I do this? It doesn't make any sense that I go there. I don't have anything. John 6:29, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. This is the work that God wants from you. Believe in the one whom he has sent. He wants us to trust Jesus. He wants us to trust him. That's what he's saying in Scripture. So why are you asking me? I don't understand this. Where will you do this? And third, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? How can you offer better water? Father, will it be worth it if I follow you? Will it be worth it? It's dangerous. I could get sick. I could get hurt. Lots can happen out there. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Trust me. It definitely is worth it. It is so worth it, my friends. There's no more better joy. You know, you don't see anything happen, but you obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit and you talk to somebody and you know that God is speaking through you to that person. Nothing brings more joy than being obedient to the Holy Spirit. This is what we were created to do, to show his good works, to be obedient to him. We are a new creation in Christ. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit and specifically gifted to do his works. My question is, do we have this living water? The woman says, or Jesus says to the woman, if you drink this water, you will become thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I will give you, you will never become thirsty again. It'll be like a well springing up, bubbling up, giving you eternal life. Please, sir, she said, give me this water. I won't be thirsty anymore, that I won't have to come here and get water. Okay, the 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Bible tells us to test ourselves. He says, don't judge the other person, but you yourself, me, I test myself. And here it says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed fail the test? I have 2 points. In thinking about this, how do we test ourselves? The first point is, do you love Jesus? Now, in looking through the Gospel of John, we see the disciples over and over, chapter by chapter, how they believe, they kind of are not sure, they doubt and everything. And now you believe? It's like 12 chapters later. But one thing that stood just was strong right through was they loved Jesus. Jesus said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And he said, "Where will we go? You are the you give the words of life." Do you love Jesus? Do you have an affection, a love for Christ? Is there a confidence in Christ and his word? Now, I start off with that aspect of, do I love Jesus? Because we don't want to start with behavior. In the world, in counseling, we have behavior modification, right? And they try to change your behavior so that you'll become a different person. I don't want to change your behavior. I want you to love Jesus. And out of that love, your behavior will change. Out of that knowing that you're created in his image. Out of that love. So with that in mind, Luke 8:18, it says, "So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them." So pay attention to how you hear. Do you hear God? Well, that's a bold statement. Do you read his word? It's 90% of the problem right there. God's word is his voice to us. Are we reading it? Do we read his word? Test yourself. Is it important? But that's not, and then it goes on to say, to those who listen. That's only part of it, hearing, paying attention to hearing his word. The second part is, are we listening? Are we being obedient to what we're hearing? I think, and it says, to those who are listening to my teaching, obedience. I think the very central attitude for obedience is repentance. And why do I say that? I say that because, Father, I messed up here. And God shows me. He says, "Son, you shouldn't have done that. You need to do it this way." When I ask him for forgiveness, when I repent, what actually happens? "Lord, I don't want to be master anymore. I want you to be master." So I'm turning towards Christ, and I'm walking that direction. I'm repenting of what I did in my own thinking and what I did in my own mind. And that's why repentance is key to walking the spiritual life. Asking Jesus to search our hearts and repenting of our attitude, repenting of the direction we thought was right, and asking him, "You shouldn't have said that word to that person. You need to go and talk to them. You need to do it my way. You need to do it what Jesus says." Obedience. And the third thing is fruit. It says, "But more understanding will be given. To those who listen," when you listen, more understanding will be given. So there'll be growth. There'll be growth. There'll be fruit from your life. So my question is, are you looking more like Jesus? If I went to your job, what would your other fellow employees say about you? How would they perceive you? Would they say, "Oh, that person just, you know, he's angry all the time, stressed out"? I don't know. Or would they say, "Oh, he's very kind, he's loving, talked to me about God once, but he is not pushy. He loves me"? How would they perceive your neighbors? Do you get along with your neighbors? Do they see you as a loving person? Do they see Jesus in you? The second point, the first point is, do you love Jesus? The second point to testing yourself, do you have a calling? Do you have a calling? What is Jesus asking you to do? Are you even aware of that? The Apostle Paul says over and over in his writings, he says, he is not living for himself. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. He has a purpose. His was preaching the gospel. Others, but the same thing. You know, do you have a calling? You have a, go and share the gospel. What does that look like? To be a witness, to be a testimony for the love of God, for the Holy Spirit is in you. And you need to share it. You need to share him with others. What has God done in your life? Jesus is asking for a drink of water. He's asking each of us. You cannot give what you don't have. It's impossible. You can't give what you don't have. Are we giving Jesus what we think he wants? Or are we giving Jesus what he has already given to us? In conclusion, I have 2 points. The first one is make sure you have living water. Do the test. Ask yourself, Jesus, where do I stand with you? I accepted you back when I was 5. Show me. Ask him. And the second point is make sure what you are sharing is what he first gave you. Make sure it's coming out of a heart for Jesus and what Jesus wants. Ask him, what should I be sharing? What should I be doing? How should I do this? He wants us to come to him. He wants us to ask him. We're in this relationship with the Almighty God. When Jesus died on the cross, it says in Hebrews, he rent the veil, the curtain was open, and by the blood of Jesus, we can walk into the very presence of God. That is like, you can't even explain that to anybody. That is just amazing. So share what he has put in your heart. Ask him for direction. He is the Spirit of truth. He will speak to you. He will give you what you need. John 15 says in that chapter, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you, without me, you can do nothing. I don't think we understand that. Without Jesus, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus is talking about the sheep and the goats. And I'll close with this. And to the sheep, he says, I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. As you have done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. We give back to him the living water by giving it to those around us. And what was their response? The sheep. He said, Father, or Jesus, when did we give you food? when did we drink? When did we give you this? When did we have a stranger invite you in? See, they don't even remember. Because that's who they are. They are giving out of their love for Jesus. They're giving out of their love. This is not a rule. Oh, I have to give. I have to give. No, we give out of our love for Jesus. So, my friends, test yourself. See if you have living water to give to other people. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us, guide us. And you've told us, you've given us everything we need to walk in obedience and to be blessed. We have been blessed by everything in the heavenly places. And so that's through you, Holy Spirit. So we just ask that we just cast our cares upon you and help everybody here to search their hearts, to come to you daily, every day, and ask, what now, Jesus? What now? What now do you want from me? What should I do today? In your precious name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen that which remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come to you like a thief, and you do not know at which hour I will come against you. But there are still some names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. To the one who conquers, they will be thus clothed in garments of white, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, bless this coming week. We pray that you will just anoint us with your living water, and we pray that we will receive it, that we will hear your voice, that we will be obedient, and that we will go out and be that living water for someone else. We thank you that you are the life giver. You are the sustainer. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings on your week.